And you all have a good day. Your body doesn't have to. You don't have to do like we did when we were young devotees. If you take care of your body now, it'll last longer. But I was telling Saturday, I was telling Sarasundar what our favorite time schedule was. I told him a little bit of what our favorite time schedule was like in the early 70s. You go 7 days a week. When it's time for the Sunday feast, the Sangha leader would come around and say, "All right, who's not in Maya? Who wants to stay out instead of coming back for the feast?" So 7 days a week. 4 days a week, it was 9 to 6. Get back to the door. Unless you were traveling, then it was later. And then 3 days a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it was 9 to 9. And then if there were concerts in town, which there always were back then during the rock music days, there was concerts in New York City every weekend. So then you would finish at 9 p.m. and then go to like big arena, like Los Angeles Forum, and then you would go inside the concert and do those till 2 a.m., get back to the temple at 3 a.m., and then you figure, we might as well stay up for Mangalarti. And then, you go to the morning program and then head out again. You're chanting around, sometimes between 8 and 10 o'clock in the morning and head out again. Actually, you're chanting around between 3 and 4:30. So, no, you just, and sleep, well. I remember the big step was for us to came in, 3 o'clock, chant around to 4:30, went to Mangalarti, the question of missing Mangalarti, and then we asked the temple president, a revolutionary thing, can we take rest during Bhagavatam class so that when we go out again at 8:30, we'll have an hour rest. That was a big step, Then by the time, let's see, by the time 1975 came around, there was a new thing where you could take a day off for reading. I remember reading the third candle volume one day. Not the big one, fine, we have now, but they had like four lines. Read it all one day, morning to noon. So, that is, and we wear plastic shoes in the freezing winter. 8-degree weather. I never knew that Prabhupada said in cold countries you could wear leather shoes. And you eat anything. You're going out in the day sankirtan, you and they just cut off the tops of half-gallon milk containers, and just put some kitchery there, soaking in ghee, some breadsticks have been deep fried in ghee, and half an orange. that was your prasad. Okay. Have it, Put it all in your book bag at the book. That was another thing. You used to wear these book bags and pack them full of books. And I was telling, who was that? How about that? I was at I saw him wearing a book bag hanging off, like that. And that's how all Prabhupada's disciples killed our back. Year after year carrying a book bag that, strapped here and it's the back hanging off here. Just kind of speaking to your back in two. So we all did that. No question. Exercise. Body. So between the diet, no exercise, and heavy schedule. So many of us were finished very quickly. I still remember the last book I did on full-time sankirtan, the Court Authority Buster from New York. So, there was somebody walking in front of me. There's Ashwara and Charachandra. They're walking through the terminal, not even fast. So I had the Bhagavatam on my hand. So I had to pray to Krishna, please give me the strength to make it over to that person. I made it this huge distance over to the person, and the person took the Bhagavatam, and then I just, that's it for me. I can't go on like this. That's what it was like back then. But you all should not repeat the same thing. We were just, everything was new then. We didn't know. But you all should go out with better intelligence. Take care of your health, take care of your body. If you do plan on doing pancreas on a long time, you have to keep your body in shape. I know it's hard when you're in your 20s to think about keeping in shape. Yeah, that's really difficult. When you're in your 20s, you should be like, yeah, I'm really going to be like this. But if you can just learn from our experience, you'll do the necessary. You're going to be a dedicated book distributor. It's a very, it's a real endurance test, and you need physical energy. And don't think you're getting exercise just by, you know, because you're just using a few muscles every day, the same muscles. So these are things we learn the hard way. So we used to follow that kind of schedule. 2 nights a week we would do concerts at 3 a.m. in the morning. Or else we would do drive-in movies at midnight. You know, people would be parked. Do they have drive-in movies here? I don't even know if they have any East anymore, but you know what they are. People drive in, park their cars, big movie screen. Well, they're, you know, 12 midnight, 1 in the morning, everyone's watching the movie screen, not from the window.
And a Christopher comes through the window.
So many people would say, I can't believe it, you guys are everywhere.
Anyway, that's what we did back then.
My husband and I, we did many concerts. We saw all the big names.
The best position for doing the big concert arenas back then was the bathroom.
They had those huge bathrooms, you know, with, like, you know, 20 stalls, you know, and 20 stalls and 20 urinals. You just go in, you just, before the concert started, and the people were filing in to sit down, you just head right for the bathroom, and you hit the people up as they were about to relieve themselves, you know. And then after that was done, when the concert started, you go row to row to try not to get kicked out by the, you know, the people.
Good employee.
So that was made up of very grueling. You all should learn how to pace yourselves for the duration. How, you've been doing it for a month. Do you ever think, how long can I do this for? Yes. Seeing how Sankirtan gives you that experience of conquering your mind, yes? Very valuable. This is why the older devotees, they always say it's the most purifying thing, because it gives you that experience of defeating your mind. And once you have that experience that you can defeat the mind, you never forget it. It stays with you. You're a full Krishna conscious Kriya. When it comes, if tough times come, you can remember, I conquered the mind. I did it before, I can do it again. So mainly, this question is for those who are doing full-time. One advantage that no one's mentioned is that by dedicating yourself to distributing for all about the books, you really can relish the book in that stage of all your life. Serving the Bhagavatam. When you open the book, the purpose is jump out at you because you serve the book in that stage of all your life. The fact that you took on this austerity for Krishna's pleasure, something you normally would never do. None of you ever thought, you know, you'd be out in an airport or somewhere, you know, doing this. You never thought that. It's not your idea of the kind of life that you wanted to live. But you've taken this because of Lord Chaitanya.
Therefore, it's the way to become very dear to Krishna. Now, how many of you immediately started doing good on sacredness? How many of you had a tough time at first, or are having a tough time? Well, just to give you some encouragement, I'll tell you about my trials and tribulations. You can ask her to tell me for confirmation. I started doing Sankirtan when I was a 3 week devotee. Now, it's probably the same way it was back then. Just, you know, just to show you that in all circumstances, you just have to depend on Krishna, taking the Krishna's mercy. Everybody always has to go through some experience in which you just have to cry out for Krishna's mercy. I joined the temple, and my first job was sweeping the floor in the press and manually folding books. At that time, they were printing their own small books. The BBT was doing it themselves. No one asked me, oh, you have a university degree? You just graduated from Yale University? Maybe, you know, we should engage in another. Someone says, look at that. I mean, the air is a broom. Six and one. So after 3 weeks, one Saturday, I went out in Harinam, and I sold a lot of incense with chanting for it. So immediately the temple president, Sankirtan devotee. So from then on, I was on full-time Sankirtan. And then when I was a 6 week devotee, I was on full-time traveling Sankirtan. So, very difficult. I remember on the campus of the University of Oklahoma, tears in my eyes crying, oh, I can't do this, I can't do this. 7 days a week. You know, you go on traveling Sankirtan in these old beat up vans, no seats in the back, you know, just, you know, and you pack all your belongings in a milk crate. Everybody had their milk crate. I don't know if you've ever seen a milk crate. You put your things in the milk crate, whatever pants or shirts you found, you know, in the secondhand bin in the dormitory ashram, you know. So, you head out to this place, that place, and I remember I hated it, but as much as I hated it, I was determined to love it. Both things were there together. I hated it, but I was determined to love it, because I knew that it was such dear service to Prabhupada. So it was like both things were there simultaneously. But I never did any exactly. I wasn't doing anything. I mean, literally, I wasn't doing anything. One or two books a day, you know. I mean, small books, no question of big books. They used to call me the hard luck kid. So I would just out and try and try and try. Every day, nothing. You know, everybody, he would take me out and he would catch it. Ferrari, Fregosa, all the big names in the past, they would take me out and couldn't catch it. Month after month, nothing. 7 days a week, nothing. They even made me, you know, traveling Sankirtan party leader, even though I was doing nothing. I guess they thought he's trying so hard. Month after month, for 2 years, nothing. 7 days a week, 2 years, nothing. When I say nothing, I mean a few small books, you know, a few medium-sized books. No question of big books. You know, that was like the Supreme Destination. They call them big books back then. Now they call them Maha Big. That's all they had then. Maha Big. You did small, medium sized books, small books, or you did the Maha Big. So, no question of that. 2 years. Then I remember one day, Rupert Lundy also remembers this day. I just went out. I always heard how the big distributors, as soon as they pull up into the shopping center or mall, they just open the trunk of the car and whoever walks by, even though they're loading their book bag, you know, they all right, I'm going to do that, you know. So, they just pulled out, you know, Maha big book, first verse of all five. Reach for another book. Another person will come. Person took the book. I loaded up my book bag wheel. Read all my big books. Went out in the parking lot. Kept doing. People have taken the books. After I did about 10. No way I can think I'm the doer after 2 years. The 2 years of being in the desert, there's no way I can think I'm the doer. This definitely has to be Christmas. Like from 1 minute to the next, Krishna just turned the switch and, all right, you master, enough of your foolishness. Now, here's the ability. 2 years, 7 days a week. No way I could think that it was my ability. From one moment to the next, and from that moment on, I was distributing the other small big ones. Like I did 35. I thought I was shaking hands. After 2 years, days of me doing nothing. Remember, I got back to the temple. You know, the way I was out with the races. You know, hard to look. What? No way. It was astounding. Then I, by Krishna's grace, I kept on like that. I was so happy at last. I got the jewel. And all my plans worked out. Just keep on like this. Okay, I'm a bit slower than everybody else, but 5 years, number one, USA. I don't know. And all the plans all figured out. So, and Krishna had other ideas. So I was sick. I refused to admit it. The devotees were telling me, you just gotta understand, your body's breaking down, you gotta do another service. I said, no, all the services are mine, I can't do anything else. After all these years, I'm finally tasting the ecstasy. I can't give up now. I would lay on the floor in the Brahmacharya Ashram in New York Temple, coughing all morning. And then I would pick myself up in the afternoon, pick myself up off the floor, and stagger out and do 2 hours, and come back again, collapse again, and day after day like that. And so you would say, oh, this is not very practical. And, no, I cannot give up. Well, then, as I told you, when I did that last Bhagavatam, I had to pray to Krishna just to, you know, across the distance of, you know, 1.5 yards, I realized. Well, so then I let it out. I let it be known. You know, I could do anything. Immediately. You know, he called up, oh, I want this book. He's pressing us. He wants all his books to be made. We need editors. Send him to L.A. And of course, you know, naturally the temple manager, they said, oh, no, no, he's one of our leaders. We can't send him. And like that for a few days, but then I was the BBJ was working on Prabhupada's books. I was right above the garage there. The kitchen above the garage where the books are, where they keep the mail order, I think, or something like that. Right above there. So, but then I was sad. You see the staggering of the boys going on every day, going to the airport. And I couldn't go with them. So the lesson I learned was that the sankirtan movement is totally under Krishna's control. A lesson I never forgot. For 2 years, 7 days a week, doing nothing. All over the country, night and day. Shopping centers, airports, malls, everything. Nothing. 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 And then one moment, after 2 years, completely changed. The second. So it was a great lesson for all the devotees to make it see. No way. There's no way this guy could have done it on his own. This is no way. We know. We watched him for 2 years. This is no way. So I kept that lesson with me all my life. But I thought my sankirtan career had ended there, but actually it hadn't. Of course, helping Prabhupada put out his book. Very wonderful. And then I went to Eastern Europe. I had to figure out how to smuggle books into communist countries, a different kind of book distribution. heavy penalty. So, then years later, I read a letter Prabhupada had written out to all Christian brothers. He said, Prabhupada said, there's only one thing higher than a Sankirtan devotee. So, to engage others in book distribution, that is wonderful service. So now looking back, I can see what Prabhupada meant when he said, be secure in lifetime plans to distribute my books. Some are they. You keep the show going. Some are they. This way, that way. My dream, when I was your age, my dream was to be an all-around distributor, be able to distribute any circumstances. I'm still working on that dream. And now I'm 48 and I'm still working on it. Why should I give up? So I think it is perfectly possible that someone can dedicate their life to distributing Prabhupada's books. Whether they keep their physical strength or not, whether the will is away. So in the years when I had no physical strength, I started learning how to sell sex. Something I thought I could never do before. But you know, necessity is another invention. I didn't have the strength to go out in the streets or do this or that. I learned how to sell sex just by speaking, urging people, you should buy the sex. Now my strength is coming back a bit, so I'm trying to, once again, learn how to do the streets. Program of thinkers on pleasure. And by sacrificing for Prabhupada's books, they reveal themselves to you. That's another lesson there. You give your life to Prabhupada's books, they give themselves to you. Krishna is not a miser. Krishna notices your sacrifice. Sometimes devotees ask me, and they're being complimentary, they say, how is it that, you know, when you speak, you seem to, you know, how does it feel for Prabhupada's books? Well, I only have one answer. I study them and I try to give my life to distribute them. And anybody can do that. So you all have a wonderful chance to dedicate yourself to reading Prabhupada's books and distributing them. Your reward is reading them. Don't forget to take your reward. The more you are enthused about the books, the more you'll convey that enthusiasm to others. You're reading the books. You're reading the books. The more you're enthused about your product, the more you can convey that to others. Prabhupada would complain about that sometimes. That my books aren't just for selling, they're for reading too. Of course, these days we're struggling to sell and to read. But back then, it was easier in that Prabhupada was personally present, pushing the book distribution, and all the leaders knew this was the way to go. Now, because Prabhupada's not physically present, there was less prestige attached to the service. But actually, that gives you more mercy from Krishna. When Prabhupada was physically present, you know, the book distributors, they were always lavished internationally. Now, even your own fellow devotees would say, why don't you get a job? When Prabhupada was physically present, no one ever paid me like that. So it was easier, because Prabhupada, as he said it inside, said, everyone's wondering how this little old man is beating the drums, and it's heard all around the world. He beat the distribution drum, the 300 others, and all the devotees were dancing to that beat. Everyone wanted to try and distribute books, even if they could just do a little bit, because Prabhupada made it good as his desire. Now it's harder. There are not that many older devotees around who want to carry on that food of Prabhupada. So it's harder. But although the name and fame isn't there like it was in the past, Krishna satisfaction. And that's what you're all feeling. Krishna knows, oh, she's just a young lady She could be doing so many things, but she's giving her energy to distributing my books. Krishna knows. He notices. They're young men. They're sacrificing in this way. Going out and getting abused sometimes. I don't think you still have so much problem with the airport. Oh, in the 70s, some of the things, oh, it was like a war. The airport employees, they would, so just to give you an idea how bad it was, they would take a log with them and cut it open and then put human excrement inside. And so the devotees were waiting on at the top of the escalator, you know, and then up. They would just put it on the bottom stair of the escalator so it would come up by itself. So the devotees were watching for the next person and up comes the trash in the sight. You know, shocking. They were demons. They wanted to just demoralize the devotees. Maya was very heavy on the attack of Vishnu Prabhupada. Wherever there's vigorous preaching, there always has to be counterattack. I'm thinking of the airport, that's the reason why I didn't do that. But if I get to land at the airport during a big weekend, holiday weekend, they have 30 distributors here. And I call them, they like, businessman, you should just pop the deck. One businessman, I remember him saying,
I've been in sales for 30 years, I've never seen anything
like this. Yeah, you just go into the airport. The airport is jammed packed with people. And it's 30 distributors, you know, just in the line across the hall. Yeah. People are just, you know, they couldn't believe it. What is this? What's going on? What motivates these people? Employers are trying to recruit the devotees. Hey, you want to come work for me? You'd be great in sales. Take my car and give me a book. They can understand. What motivates you guys? They're just watching all these books go out. So, Prabhupada had such a pleasure for me. Of course, we have our material desires, we have our material motivations, and that gets in the way of our being instruments for Lord Chaitanya. So you may ask, what happens to all those devotees? Some are gone, but they still get the credit, and some are still around. But who is saying that? Someone said that. Somebody in your devotees say that. This is the best way to get purified. Who said that? Yeah, that's true. It's the most selfless thing you can do. It's the last thing you'd ever want to do, except for Krishna's pleasure. For Krishna's pleasure, you'll do it. But for yourself, you'd never do it. Still remember, I don't know if any of you were around when Mother Gauri was here. Yeah. Getting on the plane to go to Vrindavan to die of cancer and still distributing books as he saw on the plane. We are all the ladies like Mother Gauri. Going to die in Vrindavan and still distributing the books at the end of the plane. And they were wheeling her around in a wheelchair and she was stopping people. And she, just before she getting on the plane, she gave up her mind. The real woman's liberation. It's a glorious service, but you have to use your intelligence. How to go the duration. Take care of yourself physically, take care of yourself spiritually. And certainly you have to love the books, and you won't love the books unless you read them. But by reading them, you become so alive, and yes, this is the best thing I can do for people. any questions or any points that you want to raise?
And then she told me, do you know, this
very powerful lady was here. She said, you know, we're having a building, we're finding a new building in New York, and we're asking for donations. I said, yeah, I got something in the mail about it, you know. But anyway, you know, I said, I'll leave it to you in my mail. You know, just give me the Asia card, but I'm busy, I gotta, you know, I'm gonna get going. But she kept persisting, you know. She said, oh, we need so much help. You've read so many of Prabhupada's books. You know, you should help in this way and that way. And I said, oh, come on, I'll leave it to you in my mail. Don't bug me. She said, oh, you don't even have a mail. I said, yeah, anyway, so what? But, you know, just give me the book, I'm gonna get going. And just give some contribution. So I said, look, I don't even, you know, all my money is in the checking account. You know, I don't even have my checkbook with me. She said, well, where is it? I said, it's, you know, it's in my apartment, another part of the city. She said, well, I'll go there with you. So she did that. She got on the subway and we went up. Yeah. So, you know, I made sure, and I lived on the 13th floor. So I made sure to stay down the ground level so I didn't want to be embarrassed, you know. And when people came, it was a strange girl, you know, up on her forehead, and, you know. I didn't know anybody in the neighborhood, but still I was feeling like that. I didn't want to be embarrassed. So I went up, got my checkbook, came down, wrote out, you know, check for $200. Whatever amount I say, you just multiply it by two, because that's what it's, that's what it is now. I say 200, you should pay 400, because that's the equivalent value today. I might as well say like 400. I wrote her a check for 400. I gave it to her. You haven't got the $400? She took the check, looked at it, and said, no, I want 2,000. I said, what? But then Maya tricked me. I would say, no, I can't give you that. And then, there was a voice in my ear. All the people around in the apartments are watching. You're going to be embarrassed talking to this strange girl, you know, with white stuff on her forehead, and, you know, dressed funny, and all the neighbors going to see. Yeah, maybe I should just give it to her and get rid of her real quick. Wrote out a check for her. You know, today the equivalent of $2,000. We gave it to her. Yeah, that's it. Okay. First and last time in my life I'll give in charity. So then, 2 weeks later, I was going through the bus terminal again. And again she approached. I said, no way. No way. No. But again she went through the whole thing. Come on, you should surrender to Krishna. Life is meant for Krishna. I said, look, I'm on my way. And, you know, New Haven City, I'm going to visit my fiancé for the weekend. Like a bell went off in my head. Maya, what do you mean? We really care for each other. She said, look, I'm a woman. Yeah, another bell went off in my head. Then she said, look, why do you waste your money? We're trying to make a temple. You can give another donation. No. Again, she convinced me. She took me on the subway up to my apartment again. Again, I wrote out a check for another $2,000. And then she took my checkbook out of my hand and said, oh, I see you have nothing left. You've given all to Krishna. Very good. So after that, I figured I might as well come to the temple and see where all my money was going. Then I knew that naturally Prabhupada saved me through his books and the Sankirtan. Oh, that was, you know, had no interest in going to anything. But through the books and through the Sankirtan devotee, I was rescued. I still see that devotee sometimes. I say, okay, can you give me my money back now? I could use it for some preaching. If you keep it up day after day, you can't do it for yourself day after day. Not possible. Everybody knows that. You have to be doing it for a higher purpose. That's why it's so purified. So it is possible for you all to have a lifetime dedication to Prabhupada's books. It is possible. But you've got to be in shape for that. You've got to keep yourself in physical good shape, and you've got to read the books. You take care of Prabhupada's books, the Krishna takes care of you. Every sacred son devotee knows this if you're actually serious. Said that women make the best book distributors, and this is advice he gave for how women should behave. He said, "Lion at home and lion in the chase." So when you're back at the temple, you're very shy and well-mannered, but when you're on Sankirtan, you're very active and eager to get the cure. Remember this. If you're serious about getting this rare jewel, you have to sacrifice. Don't be dull-headed about it. If you're actually serious about this, you're going to have to sacrifice. Nothing is got without sacrifice. That's why it's called yajna. Sankirtan yajna, you're going to have to sacrifice. But the results will be far more than what you can ever understand right now. I remember Prabhupada writing another Los Angeles sentence on lady. He said, just go out every day of your life and one day you'll see Krishna on the street. So these things are still true. That's Prabhupada's right. Just go out every day and one day you'll see Krishna.